Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I so appreciate the good music tonight. Amen. And there wasn't anything that I didn't like, but it was one thing was on the edge. If Brother Holtzclaw had one more color in that tie, I would have really started to think and question things a little bit there. Amen. And amen. Now he's looking. Amen. He's counting. That's all right, brother. You're okay. You're all right, Brother Holtzclaw. Amen. It's good to be under the tent again tonight. And it just seems so quickly our time here is done. And we'll be leaving out first thing in the morning. And we've got a lot of things to get back to. If I didn't have a pressing schedule, I'd be inclined to stay. Amen. Just to be able to be here for fellowship and sit and listen to the good preaching. Amen. That I know we're going to continue to have the rest of the week. But you pray for us. We have a wedding reception to put on since our son was married in Florida. We're doing a wedding reception for him on Saturday, and then we have a camp that we do, and a family camp in western Pennsylvania, and Punxsutawney, PA, and that camp will begin on Monday morning. So we have an awful lot to do in the next couple of days. So we appreciate the prayers of God's people. You pray for us, and I know some of you do. I've had people come up and say, Brother Curran, we pray for you consistently. And I want to tell you something. Every one of the preachers in this room will say, there's nothing as important as that. Nothing as important as that. Last week, I spent some time with a missionary and his wife, and I hadn't seen him for several years. And he has with him, he has a big metal ring. It's about that big around, and it's just full of prayer cards. And I said, let me see that. And I was flipping through them, and all of a sudden, I got to one of our old prayer cards, which was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. And Brother Holtzclaw, you could barely, I knew right away when I saw it, but it was so worn, and there's a hole worn in the middle of it. I mean, it was that worn out. And his wife said, when he stops and he prays for you, Brother Curlin, she said, I've watched him. He sits there and he just presses his thumbs on that card. And he just moving his thumbs, pressing down on that and beseeching God to use you and to protect you and to watch over you. And we need an army of God's people to be on their knees and praying. We're at war. There is a battle that's going on out there, and the devil is trying to destroy. He is trying to convince people that Jesus is not the answer, and he's trying to tear our churches apart. And let me tell you something tonight, people. We need to be praying. I thank God so much for the prayers of God's people. And I know that it is the Lord who has protected us and empowered us and continue to push us along for His honor and glory. And I do thank God for people and some here in this church and under this tent tonight that have been faithful to pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for the other preachers. Amen. We need it. Amen. Thank you so much for your kindness to us. I need to get moving. I know last night I didn't get to start preaching till 20 till 9, and I was done by 20 till 10. And that was early. Amen. Early enough. Friendlies is open till midnight, y'all. Amen. So don't squabble. But the thing is tonight is that regardless of how long I preach, it'll be Brother Schindler's fault tonight. Amen. Because he goes late. Amen. So, but I do want to say this. I do appreciate Pastor Gilmore and Sister Chris. And my wife loves spending time with Sister Chris and enjoys the fellowship. And she always says, I always look forward to being with Mrs. Gilmore. And I wish, I don't want to talk bad about him, but I wish it could be like that with all of the pastor's wives. And I wish that I could have the same kind of respect and honor that I give toward Pastor Gilmore. And I give that to him because of where he stands. Because of where he stands. Not, you know, it's not mean-spiritedness. It's uncompromising and a steadfast stand for the Word of God. Amen. And we need to see more of that today. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I understand this group over here was in Titusville. Is that correct? Last week? And I was just talking to one of my dearest friends in the ministry. He is the wildest, craziest preacher that I know. And anyone that knows him says he's wild and he's crazy, amen. But I love him dearly, Brother Jim Wall, Resurrection Baptist Church in Titusville. And I was just talking to him today. I'm going to be seeing him here in a couple of days. And he asked me about that. I said, well, I remember this family. And he said, yeah, he said, they were up here with us this last week, amen. And if you didn't get anything else, you got an eye-opening experience. I'll promise you that, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. Genesis, chapter 27. I preached last night, actually, out of the book of Genesis, and preached on Jacob last night. And we're going to go back to Genesis 27, completely different message. But we're going to be talking about Jacob again tonight. And I want you to please, as Pastor said, please be attentive and please listen to the voice of God, not to the voice of man, but to the voice of God. I have a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, and sometimes that means a shorter message. Say amen. I said sometimes, amen. But most of y'all are familiar with this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read tonight. And I want to give you what God laid on my heart tonight. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1. Follow along with me if you would. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. He said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard. Go ahead and say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. There you go. You're going to have a bigger uh-oh in just a minute. Rebekah heard Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And verse 6 says, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now say, uh-oh. There you go. Now you're getting it. This ain't the message tonight. But let me help you to understand in verse 8. Here's what Rebekah was saying. I know that God placed your father, my husband, in the position of being the head of the household. Who did that? Did Brother Curlin do it? No. Did the Baptist Church do it? No. God did it. Amen. Don't blame me. Amen. Hey, listen, it was God who did that. She said, I know that God placed my husband, Isaac. I know Isaac was the head of the home, and I know that God placed him as the authority in the home over me and over you. And I know what he said he wants this household to do. I know the direction that he appointed for this home. But I want you to spit in the face of God, defy the authority of God, disregard what God had to say, disregard what your father had to say, and I want you to be disobedient to God and obedient to me. Uh-oh. Can I tell you something? That never works. It doesn't work. Does God, now don't say anything because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Does God give the wife authority in the home? Yes. Yes, he does. You better read your Bible, but that authority never supersedes the authority of the husband. A wife has, children obey your parents. That mother and that wife is to be respected and honored, amen. And God gives her authority and God commands her to direct her home. Are you listening? That's a scriptural word, but not run over the authority of the father. And that's exactly what we just saw Rebekah do. Now, that's not the message. You can all go, whew, thank the Lord for that. But I just had to point that out. Amen. Now, watch. The Bible says in verse 9, go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing.
And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. There she is. Don't listen to what dad said. You just listen to me. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I. And then I want you to notice the words. As Jacob comes to his father, and he brings this meat in, all of the sudden he says, here am I. And then he says this, Isaac says, who art thou, my son? And I want you to notice verse 19. This is our center text verse tonight. And Jacob said, did you see that? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. The title of my message tonight is this, I am Esau. Let's pray together. Father, I come before you tonight and humbly ask you, Lord God, that you would anoint this tongue. And Father, I ask you tonight that you would lay upon thy servant an unction from the Holy One, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give me that portion of thy power tonight from heaven, Lord God, that your will would be accomplished in the midst of these thy people. And God, I pray that you'd help thy servant tonight to do thy bidding, and that man, no man would be recognized, but only Christ would be seen tonight. Father, I pray that you would use this message so mightily to break through to the hearts and to the lives of the men and women in this room. Lord, I pray for every blood-bought child of God here tonight, that they would see themselves tonight for who they are and where they are in their spiritual life and walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would make the fine-tuning adjustments in our lives tonight, and that we would come clean with you. Lord God, I ask for everyone that's here tonight that is not saved, that is undone. Oh God, I pray that you'd grab their hearts tonight and that you'd squeeze. And I pray, Father, you'd show them tonight that they're without Christ and without hope. And Almighty God, I pray that tonight would be the night that they repent and by faith call upon the name of Jesus and miraculously be born again. God, I can't do what needs to be done tonight. Father, I ask you tonight to do the work in the hearts as only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, just very quickly, that Jacob was looking for something. By the way, everybody in life today and everybody under this tent is looking for something. Everybody's looking for something. We ought to be looking for God. What Jacob was looking for in his life, in the text that we just read, is the same thing that his mama was looking for. Jacob was looking for a blessing. Now, be honest tonight. How many of you would like to be blessed? Would you slip your hand up? Be honest. Amen. And it's okay to raise your hand. Matter of fact, it's not okay if you don't, because you're lying. Amen. Because everybody in here, young and old, male or female, would like to be blessed. But while Jacob was looking for a blessing, he did some things that were wrong. He made some actions that were wrong. And in his endeavor to be blessed, he got just the opposite. And I want to show you very quickly, as Jacob endeavored to be blessed, I want to show you what Jacob got in this message that I have entitled, I am Esau. We see that Jacob went and he tried to deceive his father, and his mother was the one who engaged in this plot. Rebekah put together this scheme to deceive her own husband, and she said, hey, listen, while Esau's out hunting, you go and we'll kill two baby goats. We'll take those goats and we'll make up the savory meat such as your father loves. I'll cook it up for you. And he said, well, mama, he said, there's one problem. My daddy will think me to be a deceiver and I won't get blessed, which is what I'm after. Remember, he wanted a blessing. Say that with me, a blessing. He said, I won't get blessed. He said, I'll get cursed. And she said, don't you worry about that. I know your brother is a hairy man and you're a smooth man. She said, we'll even take the skins of those baby goats and I'll put them on your neck and put them on your hands. And if your father decides to feel you, he'll feel that hairy skin of the goats and he'll think that you, Jacob, are Esau. She had it all planned out. And he was after a blessing. Well, he went in there and he tricked and fooled his father, who was not spiritually discerning. His daddy knew something was wrong. He knew something was amiss. By the way, Christians, do not operate your spiritual lives based on feelings. You operate your life based on the voice. You say, what voice? The voice of God. Where can I hear that? In the King James Bible. Amen. These are the words of, and the pure words of Almighty God. Are you listening tonight? And every answer for every question that life brings your way can be found in the Word of God. Are you listening tonight? But he made a mistake. He slipped up. And I'm not going to hammer Isaac. But he made a little error in so much that he decided to give way to a feeling. And instead of listening to the voice, he listened to a feeling. And Jacob deceived his daddy. And then all of a sudden, guess who comes home? Esau. And he comes in and he says, hey, I'm here to be blessed. And his father said, who was that that I just blessed? And all of a sudden Esau realized that his younger brother Jacob had come in and robbed him of the blessing. And boy, Esau was a tough cookie. He was a big old strapping, hunting, tough guy. And he got mad and he said, I'm going to kill him. Well, all of a sudden Jacob's in big trouble. Now remember, what was Jacob trying to get? A blessing. But I'm going to show you very quickly now what Jacob got. Because Jacob sinned, let me show you the results of that sin. Genesis 27, very quickly, three things. Number one, Genesis 27 and verse 43. Here we go. Now Rebekah is speaking now again to her son, Jacob. And she says in verse 43, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. The same voice, Brother Schindler, that already got Jacob in trouble. And he knew that his mama's voice got him in trouble. She says, I know you're in deep trouble. I know you're in a fix. I know you're between a rock and a hard place. She said, but just listen to what I have to say again. She said, obey my voice and arise, flee. Number one, get this, sin separates. Are you listening? Sin separates. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be long in this point, but I'm going to make it. You understand this tonight as a child of God, when you sin, it causes you to be separated. It causes you to be separated from God. You say, well, that's not true, preacher. God said He would never leave me nor forsake me. Can I tell you something? God will not leave you nor forsake you, but it is entirely possible for you to leave and forsake God. It is entirely possible for you to walk away from God. And understand this tonight. Sin, we have this mentality today in Christianity. Well, we can do whatever we want to do and God's going to wink at it. That's contrary to the Word of God. He saved us out of the miry clay. He lifted our feet up and He set us upon a solid rock. Not to return to that same quagmire. Not to return to that same vomit. We're supposed to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen to me. When you sin, you begin to move yourself away from the protection. We're under a tent tonight. If it rains hard, can I tell you something? We're protected. But if you decide to say, you know what? I'm going to go do my own thing and I'm going out there in the parking lot. You're no longer under the protective umbrella of this tent. When you decide to go and play rogue Christian and do your own thing, you're not no longer under the same protective umbrella that God has over you when you're being obedient. God holds that umbrella as long as you're walking on His path. But you say, you know what? I'm not interested in God's way. I don't want God's music. I don't want God's holiness of dress. I don't want God's entertainment. I want to listen to what I want to listen to, live the way I want to, listen to what I, watch what I want to, wear what I want to, go where I want to, do what I, you walk out underneath, from underneath the protective umbrella of God's hand. Listen to me now. And when you get in trouble, you don't say, God, cover me. Don't work like that. God, did you hear me? God, where are you? I have a shirt, and probably many of you have seen it. It says, notice the public schools. It says, dear God, why do you allow so much violence in public schools? And then God responds, and He says, I am not allowed in public schools. Ain't God's fault. Ain't God's fault. Let's be honest tonight. If you came to hear a preacher that's going to lie to you and tell you things that are going to make you roll off your seat laughing, you're at the wrong place tonight because you're not going to get that from anybody. But listen to me. You decide to walk out from it. That's exactly what happened. Jacob separated himself from God. And watch this. This was his mother's plot. It was his mother's plan. By the way, ladies, please listen. I wish I had time to preach on this another night, but I don't. But ladies, please listen. His mother was, Jacob was the favored child. She was trying to, oh, I want my little boy. I want my son Jacob. I want him to get the blessing. And he was a favored child. And she thought she was doing him a big favor. Now all of a sudden she says, arise and flee. How many moms in the room tonight? Hold up your hand. Moms in the room. Ladies, I'm not trying to browbeat you and I'm not trying to be unkind, but this is why God placed in order Jesus Christ, the husband. Watch this now. Jesus Christ, the husband, the wife, the children. Did you see that? Here's the order of authority. Jesus Christ. By the way, some of you husbands having problems in your home, some of that's caused because you don't recognize Jesus Christ. You want to blame your wife. Ah, you're supposed to listen to me. Well, why don't you get Christ-like? Mm-hmm. And so we see that she was in an endeavor to try to get her son blessed. But watch this. All of a sudden, that mama who loved this boy, obviously he was that favorite child, she looks to him, she says, Jacob, flee. Now watch, here's what happened. Jacob left his home. Now look here, all you ladies that just raised your hand and said, I'm a mom, listen. She thought she was doing her son a favor, but you know what? This would be, unknowing to her, the last time that she would ever see her baby boy again. Ever. I'm talking about separation tonight. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible, Paul there exhorting the believers, you know what was taking place in the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians? Fornication. Now I'm going to preach something real foreign to independent Baptist churches today. And the only reason it's foreign is because nobody wants to preach the truth. In 1 Corinthians, there was an issue of fornication in the church, and Paul dealt with it with the authority and direction of Almighty God, and he said, what you must do is remove yourself from fellowship with this fornicator. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, there's someone guilty of fornication. He said, you need to remove yourself of fellowship. And he said, you know, the Bible said, with such an one, know not to eat. The Word of God says, withdraw thyself from every brother that walketh disorderly among you. You know what our problem is today? We got our kids committing fornication. Oh, and this is going to hit home. I'm a grandparent. I told you, I got 3 grandkids, amen. We got grandkids committing fornication. You know, we've chosen it. We just look the other way. Well, we just love them. You ought to love them. Nothing ought to change about your love for them. But you know what? You better be obedient to the Word of God. This is something that is plaguing our churches today, Pastor. And I want to tell you something. We had to deal with this in our, and not in our immediate family. Praise the Lord. All four of our kids are walking with God, and all 3 of our sons got married absolutely pure. And my daughter will get married absolutely pure before God. But nevertheless, we dealt with this situation in our very own family where one of our family members, whose mom and dad are saved and his siblings are saved, decided to move out. And I don't like to use this word, but the world calls it shacking up. They decided to move in with their significant other, with his girlfriend. My daddy took the Bible and sat down with him and tears weeping down his cheeks. And he said, as your grandpa, I want to show you what the Word of God says. And he said, he went through some verses and he showed him how fornication is sin. He said, you have made the decision to move in with your girlfriend. And it's wrong and it's sin. He said, yes, sir, I understand that. And then he asked him this. He said, are you saved? And he said, yes, I am, Papa. He said, are you sure you're saved? He said, yes, I am, Papa. pop. He asked him a third time, you know that you're saved and you're a born again child again. Yes, I know. He said, no question in my mind. I know that I'm saved. And then he opened the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and he said, I want you to read this. And specifically, the Bible tells us there, if somebody is guilty of committing fornication, the fellowship that we had with them is to be removed and we're not to sit and to eat with them and so on and so forth. And he had him read that passage of scripture. And my dad, who is the grandfather in this case, was with his grandson weeping and bawling. And he had him read this and he said, do you understand what this means? He said, I cannot welcome you as a professing Christian to join us in our Christmas and Thanksgiving fellowships when we get together as a family, but as children of God, like we welcomed you before. He said, we don't love you any less. He said, but something's changed. Now, some people want to set and they want to say, oh, how can you be that way? It's not me who made the laws. It's not me who made the rules. It's not me who put the precepts and ordinances in the Word of God. It's Almighty God Himself. And the people who are doing what God said are not in the wrong. Isn't it amazing that the trespasser is not wrong for what he does, but the person who stands by the Word of God now becomes the guilty? That's the day that we're living in. Nobody wants to preach on it. It'd make too many waves. Can I tell you something? Paul wasn't afraid to lay it out there. He did in 1 Corinthians. You say, well, that doesn't work. 2 Corinthians couldn't have been written and wouldn't have been written like it was if Paul had not told the people what God said. Because watch this now. Don't tell me it don't work. If you say it don't work, you're a liar. You know why? Because let God be true and every man a liar. Paul said, separate yourself from the fornicator. They're openly committing sin. You need to separate yourself from them. With such an one, know not to eat. Withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly among you. And you know what the church people did? They said, this is not an easy thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. We love this brother, but we've got to be obedient to God. And the whole church separated themselves from that fornicator. And you know how 2 Corinthians begins? With rejoicing and celebration as Paul announces and proclaims the good news that that fornicator, because the church separated themselves from it, that fornicator got right with God. You say, what did the church do? They welcomed him back into fellowship. It works. God's way works. Can I be honest with you tonight? In my finite mind and in my flesh, I would look at that and say, that don't make sense. But that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, amen. And we need to just be obedient to the Word of God. You know what happened to Jacob? He was trying to get a blessing, but he got separated. He got separated. Sin separates very quickly. There's a second thing I want to show you. Not only does sin separate, but watch this. Look in, if you will, Genesis chapter 28, very quickly. Genesis 28. The Bible in Genesis chapter 28 says this. Genesis 28 and verse 11. He's now on his journey away from mom and dad's home. Oh, I'm going to get blessed. His mom said, oh, you're going to be blessed. We got this scheme. It'll just be wonderful for you. Now he has to leave home. He never sees his mom again. His mom never sees him again. And he's on a journey. And watch what happens. Genesis 28 and verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Look at verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. Can I tell you something? When I lay my head down at night, I like comfortable pillows. Amen. The thought of resting my head on a rock never interests me. Ever. That's not comfortable. That's torment. Amen. And you know what? You're going to wake up more miserable than you lay down. Amen? Because you're going to be miserable all night. You're not going to get a good night's sleep. And if you think you were a bear the day before, sleep with your head on a rock. You'll be twice the bear the next day. Amen? Say, what's your point? Watch. Sin separates, but sin causes suffering. I wasn't there that night, Pastor Gilmore, but I believe that as Jacob lay there with his head on a rock, I believe that he probably lay there and said, my, if I had just been obedient to God, if I had not disrespected the authority of God, if I had not lied to my father, if I had done what was right, I would not be laying out here in the middle of the wilderness with my head on a rock. Hey, young people, listen. I believe Jacob was saying, boy, things weren't really as bad at home as what I thought they were. Hey, adults, listen. I guarantee he was saying, man, it wasn't really as bad doing what God wanted me to do as what I thought it was. He was trying to get his own way. Doesn't that sound like a lot of Christians today? I know that no one under this tent falls into that bill, but that sounds like a lot of Christians today. Sin separates, but sin causes suffering. Not only does sin cause separation, sin causes suffering. Lastly, let me show you this tonight. Genesis chapter 31, very quickly. Genesis chapter 31. The Bible in Genesis chapter 31 says this. Now I'm going to update you on what's happened in Jacob's life. He went to his uncle Laban's house. And he got there to Uncle Laban's house. And he saw Uncle Laban's daughter. And he fell in love with her. And he said, boy, you know what? I want to marry that girl. And he fell in love with her and he decided he wanted to marry her. But her daddy said, well, if you want to marry her, you got to work 7 years for her. He said, all right. And he worked 7 years for the one that he loved. And at the end of the 7 years, he said, all right, 7 years is up. I want the one that I love now. And he said, you know, give her to me. And he said, all right, we're going to have a wedding. And that wedding took place and it was dark out. And he woke up the next morning and all of a sudden the sun began to shine. And the next thing you know, he looked and it wasn't the one that he loved. It was her sister that he married. And he said, man, you've deceived me. And he said, well, that's just the custom. You'll have to work another 7 years. I'll give you the one that you love, but you'll have to work another 7 years for her. And so he got Rachel, but he had to work 14 years for her. So now he's married to Leah. She's the ugly one. Amen. And he's married to her sister. He's got the wife that he wanted, but he had to work 14 years for her. That's a long time. But here we are in Genesis chapter 31. Look at verse 38. Jacob is now speaking to Laban, and look at verse 38. It says, this, help me out, y'all. What's that next word? 20. 20 years have I been with. You say, what was he doing for 20 years? He was working for Laban. You say, preacher, what's your point? Not only does sin separate and sin causes suffering, but listen to me, sin causes you to become the servant of man. Would you look up here for just a minute? It is not God's intention that His people become the servant of mankind. It is not God's intention that you and I become servants of humanity. In one aspect, in a Christian aspect, we're to serve one another. That's not what I'm talking about. The reason Paul was so successful, Paul got it down. He said, do I now persuade God or man? Paul understood that if he was going to be a servant of man, he said he could not be a servant of Jesus Christ. And now we look at Jacob. He has spent 20 years of his life being a servant to man. For 20 years. Now he's got his wife Rachel. He's got the one that he loved. For 20 years he's been on the run, if you will. Now watch this. Watch what is about to take place. Very quickly, look now to the conclusion of the message and the heart of what I'm after tonight. I want you to pick up with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob now, after over 20 years of time being a servant of man, leaving his home, Jacob who went through suffering, Jacob who went through separation, Jacob who became a servant of man, now in Genesis chapter 32, is about to meet up again with his brother Esau. Y'all remember the title of the message? I am Esau. And now all of a sudden Jacob is about to meet up again with Esau. And so we'll pick up here in Genesis 32 for the conclusion of the message. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He sent the messengers out before him. And he commanded them in verse 4, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stay there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Did you see that? Did you see how he addresses his brother Esau? He sends the messengers out. He sends his servant. He said, let him know that I have all of these herds and I've got all of these flocks, and let him know that I have all this kind of stuff. And he says, tell him that I'm addressing him as my Lord. Small L, but nevertheless Lord. Now look up here, because I don't want you to miss this. We've come all this way to get to one particular point. Do you know what Jacob is endeavoring to do? Please get this. Jacob is trying to make things right with man. Listen to me. Hold on. You cannot fully ever be right with God until you've made it right with man. And Jacob knows this. We got people sitting in this room who have done people wrong, who have offended people, who have mistreated people. And you may look back tonight in your life and say, oh, it's been quite a long time ago. May I say this to you tonight? It's never completely right with God until you've made it right with man. And Jacob knows that. If your sin or your wrong that you have done has in any way been against someone else, it's never completely right with God until you've made it right with man. And brothers and sisters, Jacob is now, are you listening tonight? Some of you have been fussing and fighting with your family. Some of you have been fussing and fighting with a preacher. Some of you have been fussing and fighting with another Christian. Some of you have done some people wrong, and you're stubborn, and you're full of pride, and you won't get it right. It is never right with God until you've made it right with man. You can say, God, forgive me all you want, but until you've endeavored to apologize and make it right with man, it's not right with God. And Jacob is coming before his brother Esau, and he is going to make an attempt to make it right. Now notice what he does. He sends out those messengers before him. And we're going to conclude tonight, and I'm going to give you the heart of what I'm after tonight, which we're getting to right now in Genesis 32 and verse 22. I want you to see this. Please don't miss this. The Bible says in Genesis 32 and verse 22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And watch this. And he took them and sent them over the brook. Look up here. I remember many years ago hearing a preacher preach a completely different message, but he got in this passage and he said this, which I totally disagree with. He said, Jacob was proving himself to be nothing but a sissy, and what he did was wrong. He sent his wife and his kids over the brook before him because he was scared to death and figured, well, if they get killed, I can turn and run. Rather than me die, let me send my wife and family out before me. And if Esau's still mad, and if he's going to take his wrath out, let him take it out on my wives and my kids. I don't believe that for one second, and I'm going to prove it to you from the Word of God. Please listen to what I'm about to say. I believe that when Jacob sent his wife and his children over the brook ahead of him that night, I believe it was the perfect will of God. And here's why I say that. The Bible says in verse 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Look up here for just a moment. For over 20 years, Jacob has been on the run. He lied to his father in a scheme, in a scam. He deceived his father. He stole something from his brother. He engaged in disobedience to God and to the authority that God placed in the home. And you know what he did? He ran from his problems. Now watch. Watch what happens. The Bible says, and he took them in verse 23 and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And then verse 24, the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. May I say something to you tonight? It is at those times, and I know it's been in my life, that God, Pastor Gilmore, has brought me to a point where I am isolated and there seemingly is no one else but just me and God in that room. It has been times in my life where God has brought me to the situation and to the place where it's just me and Him. And it is at those times when it has only been God and I and nobody else. It is at those times, Brother Hamlin, that God has done His best work in my heart and in my life. And He's still molding me. He's still trying to make me to be the Christian that He wants me to be and to be the preacher that He wants me to be. And I know that at those times when God has got me alone and there's been nobody else, but I know it's just He and I. I know that is the time that God does His best. I know that God can take somebody in the midst of a congregation of 1,000 people and isolate them and make them feel like there's nobody around and it's just them and God, and He can do that here tonight. And God brought Jacob to a point in his life where he had nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to, and it was just him and God. You watch this now. Jacob is isolated, and guess what? Mercy and grace is about to appear to God's servant Jacob. It was the will of God that he's all by himself. God said, now I've got him exactly where I want him to be. And here he is in the middle of the night. 20 years of running has come and gone. And all of a sudden, let's see who's going to show up. The Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. I wonder who that was. The Bible said there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. In verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Now, let me just help you to understand this. This man that wrestled with Jacob, look. This man could have squashed Jacob like that. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. But he saw that he prevailed not against him. All of a sudden he did this. He touched Jacob. Just touch, Pastor Gilmore, the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. If that man had the strength to just touch, you say, well, who was this? Who was this strange appear in the night? Who was this strange man? It was God. Amen. Well, why didn't he prevail against him initially? Because this was a test. And I'm about to show you that. They're in a wrestling match. He didn't prevail against Jacob. But as the morning came, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. It's now out of joint. And this man, this angel, in verse 26, said unto Jacob, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now watch this. This man, that this mysterious midnight wrestler, says to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. And I want you to notice Jacob's response. He said, let me go, verse 26, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Christians, would you please, I'm begging you right now to please listen to what Jacob just asked for. Can I ask you a question tonight? What was it that Jacob got from his daddy 20 years before that? He got the blessing. He got a blessing. Why would he ask this mysterious man, this angel in the middle of the night to bless him? Would you listen to me tonight? Jacob asked for a blessing because what he realized at that point was a blessing that he had up until that point was only man's blessing. Brother Hamlin, I read the text. My Bible says that he had herds. He had herds. He had established some wealth at Uncle Laban's house. He had cattle and herds that were with him. He had what a lot of Christians have today. They've got a roof over their head. They've got a house. They've got multiple cars, vacation homes. They've got boats. They've got a little extra spending money. They've got retirement plans, stocks, annuities, investments. They've got all the blessings that man can offer up. But what they don't have is what Jacob didn't have. They don't truly have the blessing of God in their life. But they're content because they can go out to eat and they can go to the shore points for a little vacation time and they've got some extra spending money and they feel like they're doing so good. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I believe with all my heart that what Jacob realized at that moment is what we in Christianity have failed to realize. We may have some wealth and some material goods and some earthly substance, but that does not indicate the true blessings of God. The greatest wealth and the greatest blessings are things that cannot be touched or seen. Amen. And the same reason that we don't have them is the reason Jacob didn't have them. He says, God, bless me. All I want is for you to really bless me. I have so much, but yet I, in one way, have so little. Now watch this. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, that he being Jacob, turned in response and said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he, that he being God, said unto him, what is thy name? Pastor Gilmore, I still believe that my God is an omniscient God. Would you please listen? He didn't have a lapse in memory. God didn't scratch his head and say, what's your name again? That's not what was going on here. You say, preacher, why would God ask Jacob that question? Was it because he didn't know what Jacob's name was? No, I'm going to tell you why. You listen, because the last time that question was posed to Jacob was 20 years ago. And it was his father. And he said, my son, who are you? What's your name? And he said, I am Esau. When I read this in my Bible one day, I said, God, we're just like that as your children. We know how to do everything just right. We know how to tie our tie and put our suit jacket on and shine our shoes and put the dresses on and come to the house of God. We know how to raise our hands, say amen. We know how to sing the hymns. And you know what? We do just what Jacob did. Everything and anything that we have to do to put this facade on to make everybody think that we're the most spiritual thing that's ever walked on planet Earth. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. I question why God just didn't kill me a long time ago. But you know what? Grace is about to show up. And over 20 years of running in Jacob's life is about to come to an end. God said, if you really want me to bless you, by the way, like I want to bless you, because God's true to His promises that He had made, Satan. And can I say this? God wanted to bless Jacob. But I want to tell you something in a different way. God wants to bless you and I today. And the thing that's preventing Jacob from truly being blessed was Jacob. The thing that's preventing you and I, many of us in here tonight, from truly being blessed is us. It ain't somebody else. It's us. It's the moment in time when God says to me, when God says to you, you want my blessings on your life? You want your kids to turn out for God? You want your grandkids to get saved and to serve the Lord and to marry the right person and to be successful in the eyes of God? You want them to be blessed with good health and Christian prosperity? God said, all right, here's a test. What's your name? Because I'm going to tell you something. God knew what Jacob's name was. But God said, the only way I can bless you is for you to come clean with me tonight. 20 years before, someone said, what's your name? And he said, I am Esau. But tonight, it all changes. In verse 27, God said, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He didn't say Esau. He said, God, I'm Jacob. Can I tell you something? To the Hebrews, their name was critically important. They not only knew their names, they knew the heritage of that name, they knew what it meant. Jacob knew what his name meant. Jacob meant supplanter. Jacob knew that. That means deceiver. Jacob knew that. He knew that. And God said to him, you want my blessing upon your life? I'll tell you what, I've got one question for you. What is your name? I want you to come clean with me about who you really are. And he said, I am the deceiver. You know what, Christians? God ain't going to bless us tonight. God's not going to bless you tonight. When you put a facade on, when you do things to make people feel like you're someone who you're really not, God can't bless that. He can't bless deception. He's not going to. But it is that moment in time when we come clean with God and say, oh God, I have to be honest with you tonight about who I really am. Because you already know, but it's just a matter of me fully making admission of it. And you say, if I do that, will God bless me? You better believe He will. And then He says this. In verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. By the way, you say, how do you know it's God? In verse 30, Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. I think that's proof positive enough, don't you? Pastor, I pray that we could see God tonight. In that reflection of God, we'll see who we are. And I'm speaking momentarily to Christians who need to know what it is to get out of their seats and come find a place to kneel or sit or stand at an old-fashioned altar and quit acting like we're so super spiritual that there's no more room for improvement in my life. I'm so awesome, God can't do any better with me. But you notice something else? You notice something else? He changed his name. I want you to know tonight that if tonight you'll repent and by faith call upon the name of Jesus Christ, He'll give you a new name as well. I want you to know tonight that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Are you listening tonight, church? I want you to know tonight that as Jesus said, that He was the way and is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. What God was saying is there is no way, no possibility that you can ever make it into the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I want you to know tonight that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift only comes through Jesus Christ. You can't work your way to heaven. Are you listening? You can't earn heaven tonight by being a good person. You can't get there by coming to church. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven because you're religious, because you know the Bible. It is the moment in time when you come to the end of your road and realize with your heart that there is no way on earth that you could ever do anything, that you could ever be good enough to get into the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus bled and died on the cross of Calvary, and it is only through that same Jesus that you can find a forgiveness of sin and repent before the Lord God and call upon the name of Jesus tonight and ask Him alone to forgive you. Ask Him alone to save your soul. Are you listening tonight? We got people sitting under this tent tonight that are dying and going to hell because their faith tonight is in a religion. It's in the Baptist church. It's in their good deeds. Stop. Come to the end of your road tonight and say, Lord, I'm just a rotten sinner. I'm admitting who I am, and I need Jesus, and tonight call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ma'am, Jesus died on the cross for you. Sir, Jesus died on the cross for you. He loved you that much. Are you listening tonight? It's not about good works. It's not about religion. It's not about coming to church. It's about repenting tonight and from your heart calling upon the name of Jesus. I was preaching in southern Georgia back in the earlier part of the year in February. There was an evangelist and his wife who I've been friends with. I have ministered with them in meetings for over 10 years. That night God laid upon my heart the importance of giving my testimony, and I began to give my testimony, and God stopped. He said, keep on pressing. He said, give that testimony and don't let up. Give your full testimony. Quote the Bible. Go through the plan of salvation. Somebody in this room is not saved and they think they're saved. I started looking around and say, God, who is it? I wonder, is it this guy? Is it this guy? Is it that lady? Is it this man? Is it this lady? Is it this late? I'm looking around wondering who it was. I did what God told me to do. The service was over. I walked out of there that night. And all of a sudden, this my friend and his wife, an evangelist, his wife came out with us to the car. And he said, Brother Curlin, he said, we need to talk to you. And all of a sudden, his wife said, actually, I need to talk to you. And she burst out crying. And she said, when you gave your testimony tonight, she said, God began to convict me and show me that I was lost and I was never truly saved. And she said, tonight I repented in my faith, received Christ. She said, Brother Colin, I got saved tonight. And she was weeping and bawling. Brother Hanlon, for over 10 years, we've been on the road ministering with them people from time to time. You know them. Brother Holtzclaw, Brother Jared Williams. His wife, Angela. I thought, boy, don't get any better than that. We finished our meetings, worked our way back up through Georgia and Florida, Georgia, up through Tennessee. Finished preaching there. I eventually got back home. And I actually rearranged my schedule a bit. And I got home. I had a Sunday. And I was going to go preach in an area church. And God said, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go be in your home church. I said, okay, it's all right. I haven't been there for a long time. I guess it'd be good for me to go to my home church. So I thought, well, I'll call my son and let him know that I'm coming because he'll probably want me to preach. God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to go to your home church. I want you to sit there and be quiet and listen. I mean, God, I knew God told me. I said, okay, Lord, that's what you want me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I didn't even say nothing to my son. I just showed up. He began to preach Sunday school. And I sat there and I thought, man, this is one of the best messages I've ever heard preach, let alone my son preach. And I mean, it was a powerful message. He got into the main Sunday morning service. He opened the Bible to the book of Isaiah and he began to preach out of Isaiah. About 5 minutes, he closed it and he started weeping. He said, I can't do this. He said, God's telling me not to preach this. He said, God's telling me to preach a salvation message. And he started pouring it out and he started to preach the gospel. And he let the people in that room, he was preaching to the church. There was no visitors there, nobody but the church. He said, Listen to me. He said, you need Jesus today. You don't need to be a member of the Baptist church. You don't need religion. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you need to be born again. You're not getting to heaven because you prayed a prayer. You're not getting to heaven because you didn't want to go to hell. The only way to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, in the fact that He died and bled on the cross. He was buried and rose again. He preached the most powerful gospel message I have ever heard anyone preach in my life. And I sat there and I said, there is somebody that's getting saved today. There is no way that God has put this much anointing and power on this preacher. Somebody's coming to Jesus. Somebody's getting saved. When He gave the invitation, my daughter-in-law, who is His wife, the pastor's wife, jumped out of her seat and began weeping and wailing, and she got saved. The pastor's wife got saved. My daughter-in-law. She said, I prayed the prayer. I'm like a lot of people. I didn't want to die and go to hell. She said, good night. My daddy's a deacon in Independent Baptist Church. My brother's assistant pastor. I was raised in Independent Baptist Church. I'm the pastor's wife. But she said, God, she said, today I didn't question my salvation. I knew I wasn't saved. She said, God convicted me so mightily and showed me that I had a false profession and a false hope, and I had never truly put my faith and trust in Jesus. And she said, I was under so much conviction I could hardly sit there throughout the preaching of the Word. And she said, but this morning, she said, I got born again. She got a new name. She was honest about who she was. A sinner in need of a Savior. We got people sitting here tonight, they're members of a Baptist church and they ain't born again. Yeah, they got the right skins on. Got everything to make everyone else feel. And you know what? They may die and go to hell. You say, well, I got time to think about it. Let me tell you something. I walked out here last night, Pastor Gilmore. I got my vehicle and I drove back to the hotel and I pulled my phone out and I saw a message. I thought, I have a message, and I put my number in there and began to listen to it. And it was the voice of a missionary couple that my wife and I just spent 3 days with on the other end of the line. And their home and sending church is a church, one of the first, actually it was the second church I ever preached a revival. I love that church, and I love the people in that church, and one of the dearest families in that church. We've known for over 15 years. That church is having vacation Bible school this week. One of the dearest families in that church who we love very much. Last night on the way to vacation Bible school, their son was killed in a car accident on his way to VBS at an Independent Baptist church in western Pennsylvania. And she told me he's dead. And I just stopped and dropped my, put my head down and tears welled up my eyes. I called them back on the phone. They said, you know what the preacher preached on Sunday night? Your time frame. He said, everybody's got a time frame, and you do not know when your time is up. For somebody, it may be today, it may be tomorrow, but everybody's got a time frame. And one 17-year-old man, young man who was sitting in that thing, thought, I'm young, I've got all kinds of time. Now, that young man made a profession of faith, but I'm going to tell you something. He had no idea that while he professed to be saved, he had no idea that his time frame was going to be up in less than 24 hours. And he's dead. Don't you think tonight, because you're young, you got time. You need to be saved tonight. I don't know who you are. I'm just telling you what God's telling me to say. There's people that are sitting under this tent tonight that are on their way to hell. You need Jesus Christ tonight. You need to repent tonight. Quit hiding behind that false facade. Quit trying to make everyone else think that you're a blood-bought child of God. Don't you die and go to hell because you're worried about what somebody else thinks tonight. I want you to know that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. Open your heart tonight to Jesus and be saved. Child of God, you find yourself a little bit like Jacob tonight. Maybe there's something in your life, something in your past that's been haunting you, something that God's tried to deal with you about, or that you have done wrong or are doing wrong, and you've been on the run from God. Maybe you're just not being as transparent as you need to be, and you know that you're hiding things, and God's coming to you tonight. Would you be honest with me about who you really are? You say, preacher, I want that blessing. Then don't say, I am Esau. Would you be honest with God tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.